Let's stand together. Open your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 3, if you would. Songs, old and new, written by men and women with conviction for the goodness and grace and mercy of God. And it's a blessing that literally sometimes thousands of years later we're singing songs written by David, or hundreds of years later written by saints from other places in the world. And we get to come together with that heart of worship because of Christ. It's all about Him. Last week, we were trying to get back into our study in the scriptures concerning Christ, and we kind of did an overview of what we studied in Genesis. I would like to do the same thing tonight and do a review of what we studied in Exodus and the passages that we looked at there. So we're going to move very quickly in much of a review, but I want you to know this: in every book in the Bible, we see Jesus. Amen. We see Christ, and He was able to open the scriptures to the disciples and expound those things concerning Himself, and we hope that we can do the same, that He will show Himself to us from His scriptures. So let's pray, then we're going to begin tonight. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13 is where we're going to start. Exodus 3, 13, but let's pray, and then we'll read. Father in heaven, thank You for the beautiful day, for the opportunity to gather and worship. Thank You for Christ, our Savior, who saves us and who keeps us, who holds us fast in every storm and gale. I pray, dear Lord, that those who are hurting right now, that You'd give them comfort. Those who are unstable, that You would give them strength and stability. Those who are unsure, that You would increase their faith. And Lord, for all of us, I pray those things. Lord, we are nothing without You. We can do nothing without You. But all things are possible with You, God, and we pray for Your help and Your mercy and Your grace. Please open our hearts to the Word of God tonight. I pray Your Spirit would convict us and guide us into all truth. For those hearing who have never been born again, that they would hear and believe the gospel tonight, call on Your name and be saved, to be baptized and serve You faithfully together in the body, the local church. Lord, we thank You for Your grace. We pray that You'll help. Pray especially You'll help me right now. I'm nothing without You, and I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus 3:13. Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" Amen. Please be seated. I told you months ago when we started looking at the scriptures concerning Christ in Exodus that Exodus covers about 400 years from the death of Joseph and all the way to the death of Moses. Exodus is a story of redemption. It's about God externally redeeming Israel out of Egypt, but then it begins the process of God redeeming Israel by removing Egypt from Israel. Because when they came out, they took a lot of the world with them, and God was going to do the work of sanctification. So there was deliverance, but then there's a process of sanctification, and it's a great picture of our salvation, is it not? Amen. That when you're born again, God calls you out of the world, out of that darkness, but too many times we bring that sin, we bring that flesh, we bring that worldliness with us, and God does a work to remove that from us. So we put off the old man and put on the new man. I heard in a message talking about Exodus that I thought was really helpful to me. It said that Exodus is about who God is. And I think it's really interesting when you consider what Moses said. You remember that Moses there sees the burning bush, and he is bewildered by this burning bush that's on fire, but it's not consumed. And you might remember how when he approaches that bush, the Lord God speaks to him out of the bush and says, "Don't come any closer and take your shoes off. You're on holy ground." Amen. And so the Lord God speaks to him, and he tells him who he is. But look at it. Back up a little bit. Verse 2, Exodus 3:2. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. Down in verse 4, it says that God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said unto him, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." He says, "Don't get any closer, draw nigh hither. put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So it was God that appeared to him in that bush. It was God himself. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I've heard their cry. And then in verse 8 he says, I am come down to deliver them. And so who do we see here in Exodus chapter 3? We see God, God the great I am. In verse 14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. He knew he was God. He knew he was the Lord. But now he says, I am. I am the self-sufficient God. I am the pre-existent God. I am the creator of all things. I am the one who needs nothing else, the one who is all things and in all things. That's who I am. And so he asked the question, who do I tell them you are? He says, you tell them I am. I am have sent you. I am is the one who's going to deliver you. We studied about that great and miraculous appearance of God there. Exodus chapter 12 was the next place we studied. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 says, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. And so God was going to begin a new beginning with Israel. At the end of their time in Egypt would be something new would begin. Israel's life was going to begin anew at the end of their time in Egypt. It would be the beginning of their new life following God. He gives them the instructions for the Passover. And down in verse 11, he says, thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. So God says, I'm going to send you, and I'm going to do this thing. I am going to put judgment on all the gods of Egypt. And by the way, if you study it out, you'll find that's exactly what God did. Every plague that he sent was a direct attack on one of the false gods, the devils that they worshiped. And God showed himself powerful over all those things. He says in verse 13, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen. The plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And so we see God as that Passover. We walk through chapter 12 a little more detail. We remember that lamb was a chosen lamb. It had to be a special selected lamb, didn't it? Not just any lamb. Not just the worst of the flock, but the best of the flock. It had to be a lamb without blemish and without spot. It had to be a shared lamb. They would share the lamb with their neighbors. It was a spotless lamb. That lamb couldn't just be, it looks good for now, but they had to keep it up and examine it for 4 days. It was an examined lamb, and it was a lamb to be slain, sacrificed. Its blood would be shed to cover those in the house, to cover them and protect them for death. It was a lamb that was taken in. They didn't just kill the lamb, but they roasted it with fire and they ate it. They partook of the lamb. It was a lamb to be partaken of. It was the lamb that delivered them from death. So we saw the burning bush and we saw the Passover. Then we went to Exodus 14. Exodus 14. Verse 3 says, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land and the wilderness to shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. But Steve pointed this out in our men's Bible study just the other night. I think I remember that. But God wanted Egypt to know that he was Lord. God wanted not just Israel to know, he wanted Egypt to know too. They could repent. They could believe on the God of Isaac and Jacob and Israel. They could believe on the Lord God of Israel. And God wanted that. So the people left, spoiled Egypt on their way out after Passover, just like God said they would. And God led them in the way, literally between a rock and a hard place. He led them to a place where there's no escape. He hardened Pharaoh's heart that he chased after them and they were pinned in. The mountains on one side, the Red Sea on the other side, and Pharaoh coming behind them. There was no way that they could escape. And by the way, God brought them there. God brought them to where they couldn't save themselves. He brought them where they would need a deliverer. He brought them to a place that was too hard for them. Amen. And let me just say it one more time for everybody in case you've ever missed it. People like to say all the time, God won't put more on you than you can bear. That is a lie. God puts more on you than you can bear every day. And if you think you can bear what you have, you just don't know. Amen. We can't do anything without God's strength. So he brought them to that place where they could not. There was no hope, but God stood between them, a pillar of fire to give light to Israel and a pillar of darkness to hide them and protect them from Pharaoh, and he watched over them. Down in verse 13, Exodus 14, 13, Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Amen. I'm not sure exactly how we would say that in Oki, but something like, simmer down. Simmer down. Just watch what God's about to do. Right? Amen. You settle down. Be quiet. Shut your mouths. God's about to do something awesome. You don't want to miss this. Amen. The Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." And he told him to hold up his staff and stretch it out. And God sent that great wind that would divide the waters from the waters and create the dry ground, create a highway for Israel to pass through the Red Sea on dry ground. The pillar was there to protect them. God caused it to go back, and he sent them in on dry ground. But of course, man, Pharaoh was out of his mind with rage, with a hard heart. He was blinded to what was going on around him. And God fought against the chariots of Israel, broke their wheels off, and caused them to go hard so that the army was saying, okay, we need to leave these people alone. But Pharaoh wouldn't stop. Pharaoh wouldn't stop. So the Bible says in verse 27, Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. The Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Amen. Verse 30, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So we see in the Red Sea crossing that God was their deliverer, God was their savior, God was their protector. Then we moved on to chapter 15. And you can find in chapter 15 and verse 23, when they had came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. When they came to that place, after all this great deliverance, all of the plagues that they saw in Egypt, the great Red Sea crossing, all these miraculous things that God did, delivered them from Pharaoh and his armies. So when they come to the place where the water is bitter, what do you suppose the children of Israel did? Murmured and complained. Like, God, we don't know why you brought us here to kill us with thirst. Right? So that belief that they had in God, their trust in the Lord and the leadership of Moses was very short-lived, right? They were hot and they were cold. By the way, that's nothing new. We see that in the letter of the book of the Revelation, don't we? Amen. Because thou art neither hot nor cold, or lukewarm. We see that we've got to be completely hot for the Lord and stay that way, on fire for him, trusting him always. So they were quick to turn away from God. Verse 26, he says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and wilt do that which is right in his sight and wilt give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen. There was a tree the Lord showed to Moses. And the Lord said, if you'll take that tree and throw it in the water, it'll make the bitter water sweet. It'll make that undrinkable water drinkable. But guess what? Yet again, God brought them to that place. He brought them to a place where the water was bitter. But you know, God's also the one who grew the tree Amen. That would heal the water. Amen. You guys believe that God's able to provide an answer to every problem? Amen. That whatever he brings you to, that he can bring you through? And once again, we see that, and he is the Lord that healeth thee. He is the healer. He's the healer. Chapter 16. Amen. Chapter 16. Verse 1, they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is in between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The children of Israel said to them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Well, they thought they were going to die of thirst, but God provided clean water. Now they're pretty sure they're going to starve to death. And yet in their murmuring and complaining, God is still merciful. Amen. Hey, are you glad God's been merciful to you in your murmuring and complaining? Amen. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. The people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And God did a miraculous thing. The first day they got to see the glory of God, and then there was this thing on the ground. You guys know what the Hebrew word manna means? It means what is it? What is it? They didn't know what it was, so they called it, what is it? We probably would have said, whatchamacallit. What is it? Well, they didn't know what it was, but God rained it down from heaven every day. Amen. And on Friday, he gave them bonus. Bonus manna Fridays. Twice as much as you need. Gather up double, and you got enough for the next day. And he did it. 40 years he provided for them. Amen. Exodus 17, we studied this. Exodus 17, verse 1, and all the congregation of children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. So they've been thirsty, they've been hungry, now they're thirsty again. Verse 2, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? The people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is it that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people. Take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? And so God gave them living water from the rock. Amen. From there, the living water. So we've seen the bread of heaven, the living water. And now in chapter 23, verse 20. 23:20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not. For he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. The Lord would send his angel to go before him. And we saw a little bit of that last week Just a reminder that the angel of the Lord is none other than Christ himself. Amen. So he's the angel of the Lord. Exodus chapter 24. We saw how God would call Moses up and the elders into the mountain and they would see God. 24:10, they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also, they saw God and did eat and drink. So not only did God bring them into his, up on the mountain where he was near, but they saw the throne of God from underneath. And not only that, they saw the throne of God and they didn't die. And not only that, they saw the throne of God and they got to eat in his presence. Amen. You know, our God's interested in us dining with him. Amen. Do you know that? He wants us to sit with him. Amen. And fellowship with him and break bread with him. Amen. It's a beautiful thing to get to spend. Just imagine that, eating a meal right there in the presence of God. I don't know. If I understand my Bible right, I think he's got a feast prepared for his saints in the future, doesn't he? Amen. There's a feast prepared. There's a meal prepared. There's the wedding feast. Amen. That great day when he calls his church home. What's he going to do? He's going to let his saints sit and eat in his presence. Amen. Exodus 25. Exodus 25 and verse 8 says, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." And we spent quite a bit of time studying about the tabernacle, about that place where God would come and put his presence with them. So we learned about that and all the pictures from the coverings that were on the tent to the furniture pieces, to the altar, to the brazen laver, to the table of showbread, to the candelabra, or the whatever you want to call it, the lampstand, candlestick, to everything, the table of incense that was inside, and ultimately inside the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, all of those things point to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of those things point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we went to Exodus 33. Exodus 33, find verse 13. "Now therefore, I pray thee," Moses prays to God, "if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And God said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Amen. And he said, Moses says to God, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." God says, "My presence will go with you." And Moses says, "If your presence isn't going to go, then I don't want to go. Amen. If you're not there, I don't want to go. If you're not leading, I don't want to follow." Verse 16, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." Amen. Have you found grace in the sight of God? Amen. Does he know you by name? Moses prays in verse 18, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And the Lord says, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And he said, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass when my glory passeth by that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Amen. So he got to see the presence of God. He got to be in the presence of God. He talked with God face to face, like a man talks to his friend. Moses was the most meek man on the planet, and he had the closest relationship with God. And he got to see the glory of God. He got to experience the grace of God. And he got to learn about the rest of God. I will give thee rest. We talked about a lot of things, but I just want you to think about it for a second. Who is the great I am? Is it not Christ? Who is our Passover? 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Who is our deliverer, our Savior, and our protector? Is it not Christ? Amen. Who is the Lord that heals us? Is it not Christ? Amen. What did he do when he came? What was the way that John would know who he was? Yeah, the Holy Spirit came down like a dove at Christ's baptism. But after that, when he asked again, is it you or are we looking for another? He reminds him of what the prophet said that he would do. He would come and give sight to the blind. He would cause the lame to walk. Amen. Cause the deaf to hear. Amen. He would preach freedom, liberty to the captives. Christ our healer. Who is the bread of life? Well, I mean, that's what he said, John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He said, Moses didn't give you bread in heaven. My Father gave you bread in heaven, and that was a picture because of the bread from heaven. That's me. He's the bread of life. He's the living water. 1 Corinthians 10:4. And all did drink that same spiritual drink, and they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Amen. He is the rock of the living water. He is the angel of the Lord. They saw the God of Israel, and Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. Amen. He is the tabernacle. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That dwelt means to tabernacle. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ himself tabernacled with men. He is the living tabernacle of God, and he is our rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. Moses said, Lord, who do I tell them? What do I say your name is when they ask, who sent me? I am that I am. I am is the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Exodus is a book about redemption. But redemption then and redemption now and redemption forever is only possible in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to pray, and then we're going to end our service tonight with a song. Father in heaven, thank you so much for Christ, our Savior. Thank you for the redemption that you've given to all who trust in you and the promise of redemption for all who believe. I pray if anyone hearing the message tonight's never been born again, that tonight they would trust in you, that they would believe with all their heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he died for their sins and rose again. Help all of us, Lord, to love you and walk with you, to follow you faithfully. Lord, let us be warned. These things have been written for our admonition and our learning. Lord, help us not to be hard-hearted. Help us to not harden our heart as in the day of provocation, but to be soft in our hearts. Lord, give us a heart of flesh. Father, I pray that we wouldn't be stiff-necked or rebellious, but that we would love you, that we would trust in you, that we would serve you, and that out of our lips wouldn't come complaining and murmuring, but only praise and honor and worship for your holy name. Thank you for your mercy, and please bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.